Radio Prague News.
Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, is to move to a safer location, away from the center of Prague. A memorial ceremony has been held for Culture Minister Pavel Dostal at Prague's National Theatre. The Prime Minister is set to stand for election in the regions in order to avoid a possible head-to-head clash in Prague with the leader of the opposition. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, is to move from its current location at the top of Wenceslas Square to a safer place away from the centre of Prague, the United States-funded broadcaster announced on Thursday. Security at the station was stepped up in the wake of the 9/11 attacks on the US, and Czech politicians had called on RFE/RL to relocate, as it posed a risk to the general population. It's moving to a new building in the Prague 10 district of Hagibor. A memorial ceremony for Culture Minister Pavel Dostal, who died on Sunday, has been held at Prague's National Theatre. The ceremony was broadcast live on Czech television and was attended by President Václav Klaus, Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek and other politicians, as well as many well-known figures from the world of Czech culture. Mr. Dostal will be laid to rest in a private family funeral on Friday. Meanwhile, there were press reports on Thursday that Vladimir Darianin has provisionally agreed to replace Mr. Dostal as Minister of Culture. Mr. Darianin is currently the head of the Czech Pavilion at the Expo 2005 in Japan. He's not a member of any political party and comes from Eastern Slovakia. The Prime Minister, Jiří Paroubek, looks set to stand as a Social Democrat candidate in the Ústí nad Labem region in general elections next year, two Czech dailies reported on Thursday. Mr. Paroubek currently represents Prague, and he may have wished to avoid a possible head-to-head battle with Mirek Topolánek, chairman of the opposition Civic Democrats. His party generally do well in the Prague area. And Prague saw a new temperature record on Thursday, with 34.7 degrees Celsius being recorded at the city's Klementinum weather station. Temperatures are set to rise even further, up to 37 degrees in the coming day or two. It'll be sunny with occasional storms. My name is Ian Willoughby. That's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Peter Smith. Cycling spectacular turned scandal as half the competitors pull out at the last minute. More in a moment. Also, move over the Wonderbra, Eva Herzigova. Czech model Karolina Kurková looked set to take her place. And there are plenty of examples of foreign men coming to the Czech Republic and setting up with a Czech girl, maybe even Karolina. But not so many cases the other way round. Why is that? What's wrong with Czech men? Rosie Johnston examines this in Panorama. Don't go away. Well, it was billed as a cycling extravaganza, but ended in fiasco. The stars of the Tour de France were supposed to be pedalling their way up and down Prague's Wenceslas Square on Wednesday, but dozens of them pulled out after an argument with the organisers over money. Rob Cameron has the following report.
Prague had been hoping to recreate the atmosphere of the Tour de France on Wednesday with a race called the Prague Grand Prix. Four dozen Czech and foreign cyclists, including Germany's Jan Ulrich, who came third in the Tour, were supposed to line up on Wenceslas Square. But when Prague's deputy mayor fired the starting pistol, only half of them were there to hear it. Tomáš Nohajl covered the event for the daily Mladá Fronta Dnes.
A lot of people was awaiting the riders because nobody knows what's happened. A lot of people came because there was a great show with Lance Armstrong and 80,000 people wanted to repeat some show from last year. But during the few minutes before the start, moderator said we have some technical problems.
The technical problems were in fact an argument over money. The organisers wanted to pay the riders by cheque. Many of the cyclists wanted cash. In the end, just 24 of the 44 riders turned up for the race. The others, including Jan Ullrich and American George Hincapie, stayed in their hotel rooms or went to the pub. The crowd was bitterly disappointed and thousands of fans drifted away. The race was shortened to 55 minutes and Czech TV pulled the plug on its live coverage of the event after just 2 minutes. Tomáš Nohajl agrees the race was a fiasco, but says unfortunately from time to time such things happen.
In the world of sport business, it sometimes happens. For example, in this year was problem in Prague with skating show Yevgeny Pluchenko. It was cancelled in Saska Arena. Last year was cancelled World Cup in triathlon in Karlovy Vary. Sometimes something is happen. It's question of money. It's like in business. Some firm has problems. Some firms are growing up. It's normal life, I think.
So, a sad day for Czech cycling and something of a wasted day for the thousands who'd waited in the tropical heat to catch a glimpse of some of cycling's best-known stars. Both riders and organisers are convinced they were in the right and the matter will now be settled in court.
Ooh, the root of all evil, is it? All of the money, of course. Anyway, that's Rob Cameron with that report. The 5'11" blonde Czech supermodel Karolina Kurková can expect to earn more money during her career than any other world supermodel, an astonishing €42.6 million. Well, at least that's according to a calculation by the German advertising and marketing service BBDO Consulting. Pavla Horáková spoke to BBDO's Simone Vassal and asked her how someone's money-making potential can be calculated.
What we did in the brand valuation of the models is to calculate the purposed income of them and to have a sort of ideal life cycle of a model. So that means we are looking on different models and different living positions of them. So they are on different stages of the life cycle. And then we look what general or ideal life cycle of a model will be. They are starting very early, between 14 and 17, and then the main modeling stage is until 30, 35. And that's the main period where they get incomes from different income perspectives. The one is core business, is the modeling, and the other one is promotion business, like they have TV shows, they have prints, they have cooking books, sport videos, whatever. And we looked what they get from those different perspectives.
Can we perhaps say that fashion models these days are something like brands?
Yeah, sure. That's why we did it. Normally we do brand valuation for companies or for simple brands, like the DAX 30 industry. We look on different brands and look what the brand valuation is about. And that's the first time we do it for models or persons. And we are not looking on the personal side of the models or their private life, but as they are aging like and acting like real brands and what they're doing to be a brand. So TV shows and being very celebrity around the world and so on. I'm sure models are brands, yes.
And what is it exactly about Karolina Kurková that makes her so promising, so potentially successful?
I think there are two things which are very important. The one thing is Karolina Kurková is very young. The second is she is very famous around the world. The brand image and the brand strength of her is not that high because she is very young and not one of the famous top models like Naomi Campbell and Claudia Schiffer. That's what we got from the international brand research we did. But her potential is very, very high because she has that potential face, she has the potential life cycle of a model, and she started to be a very high-paid model very early.
Well, Pavla Horáková was talking to Simone Vassal from BBDO, and I'm just looking at a picture here of Miss Kurková, and I think there might be other reasons why she is expected to earn so much money. The summer film school in the town of Uherské Hradiště in South Moravia is currently underway. Film fans from all over the Czech Republic have been gathering for more than four decades every summer to watch and discuss good films. One of the main themes of this year's film school is Irish cinema. Radio Prague's Colleen O'Connor is at the event and Martin Mikolaj spoke with him earlier about the festival highlights.
Well, basically, the film festival is showing a retrospective of about 60 films starting from the 1920s up to the present day. So if anyone's not really familiar with Irish film at all, such as it exists, and they have a great chance to see most of the highlights of the past, like, 60 or 70 years.
What kind of events have you noticed in Uherské Hradiště?
The accompanying program is all to do with Ireland as well, which is quite clever. Like, they have lots of Irish music workshops, plus plenty of concerts. It was quite interesting last night because we had Brona Gallagher, who appeared in The Commitments and is also a very well-known female vocalist in Ireland. Glenn Hansard, who is, like, the lead singer of one of the biggest bands in Ireland, The Frame. Maria Doyle Kennedy is also of The Commitments and is one of the leading female singers of our generation, and David Kitt, who sold like at least a million records in Ireland and Britain, were all sitting on the main square in Uherské Hradiště playing with a local musician who was called František. They were so defiantly monolingual, they ended up calling him Frank. And Frank and his buddies had some fiddles and acoustic double bass with them. And these four Irish musicians and these Moravian musicians started playing songs to each other. And like, by the end of the night, the whole square was clapping along, singing some sort of mishmash of Moravian and Irish folk songs. And it was quite an amazing moment for anyone who was there.
Colin, you are Irish yourself. What do you think about the reactions of Czech viewers at the Irish films? Do you think Czechs have any chance to understand them? I mean, given the Irish humor, the way of thinking?
Well, I talked to the festival director about that, Jerzy Kralik, and he said he watched about half of these 60 films that they're showing, and he instantly made a connection because a lot of the subject matter was to do with resistance and revolt, and he definitely thought there was a connection between the Irish revolutionary tradition and the Czech revolutionary tradition, such as it exists, which manifested itself in 1968 and 1989, and he definitely thought there was a lot of common ground there. And I talked to the Irish musicians who had come over, like Glenn Hansard himself has actually got a flat in Prague and has a lot of connections with the Czech Republic, and he said he wasn't sure about the revolutionary tradition, but he definitely thinks that there's definite similarities between the Irish and Czech. He can't quite put his finger on it, but that they don't both have the same guardedness and black sense of humour.
The Irish cinema is not the only theme of this year's film school. Can you also tell us something more about the other themes?
There's quite a few one-off films from French directors, and they're also showing the latest Czech films, and these are all being shown on a huge screen in the main square. So it's quite an interesting festival. It's not really a festival, it's actually a film school, because they don't really show any new films. They just show lots of films that have already been released, but show them in their proper context with similar films or with people who were involved in the making of these films. And one of the highlights was we were watching a very recent Czech film called Tales of Ordinary Madness on the main square in Uherské Hradiště. And it's just broadcast for free with hundreds of people just sitting around the square and sitting in restaurants eating their dinner. It's a real festival atmosphere, which you don't often associate with film festivals.
Colin O'Connor there, reporting from the summer film school in the town of Uherské Hradiště. He was talking to our very own Martin Mikolaj. You're listening to Radio Prague. Now, any foreigner who lives in Prague, particularly male, might have noticed that the Czech women in this country very often set up with a foreign man, an Englishman or a British person. And we have a lot of friends out here who do actually live in that situation, perhaps a British person with a Czech girl. But it doesn't happen too much the other way round. Shall I say, a British or American woman with a Czech man. Now, why is that? Well, Rosie Johnston is trying to get to the bottom of that in this week's Panorama.
You are woman, I am man. You are smaller, so I can be taller.
Thousands of Czech women are registered as being married to Germans, Americans, Brits and Italians, but finding a Westerner married to a Czech male is nigh on impossible. Only 29 Americans and 19 Brits were wedded to a real-life Czech male in the last figures for 2003, which makes them an extremely rare breed.
Our friendship leaves something to be desired. Does it take more explanation than this?
American journalist Dina Spritzer has lived and worked in the Czech capital for many years. She's particularly interested in the very unbalanced numbers of Czech men and women married to foreigners, and has published numerous articles on the subject. She suggests that Western women may be put off by the somewhat unappealing stereotype that they have of Czech men.
There is a stereotype. The Czech man doesn't do housework, expects a woman to do it all. He doesn't cook, he expects a woman to do it all. And he expects a woman to focus on serving him and looking beautiful.
It does sound rather demanding, especially for someone whose culinary showpiece is pasta à la beurre. But does this stereotype have any grounding whatsoever? Dina suggests that it does.
Czechoslovakia in the First Republic had an extremely strong feminist movement. In fact, it was one of the strongest in Europe. But during communism, it was quite common for the women to do all the housework and all the cooking and hold a job, while often men had very difficult manual jobs, manual labor jobs, and so they were exhausted by the time they came home. So I think that caused somewhat of a delay in the movement here to have housework and cooking share. This is still an issue.
The majority of mixed nationality couples I quizzed said that household chores weren't such a sticking point for them, and that they normally shared out the housework 50-50. But many did agree with Dina more generally, citing Czech males as having a relatively conservative attitude towards home life. Jane Kerwin is one of the exceptionally few Westerners to have a Czech partner. She's been living in Prague with Aleš Maháček for the past 5 years. They originally met in London while Aleš was living there in political exile. She tells me that Aleš has always been particularly fascinated by England.
He went to prison because he was curious about literature. In 68, he was actually visiting. He came to England with a friend and they had no money and they hitched around. So he's always been quite interested. He likes lots of things about English culture.
Aleš is obviously quite an extraordinary character. Jane tells me about his son, who perhaps better fits the description of a so-called typical Czech male.
His son works in Prague. He goes to his country small holding every weekend and he's very contented. He is having to travel. His job is sending him to France and it sends him to Germany. But he likes to live here. He likes his Czech partner. I don't think he's had a relationship with anybody but a Czech woman.
Dana Smith is a young Czech who has just married an American living here in Prague. She agrees that Czech males are more reticent to date Westerners than their female compatriots. She explains why she thinks this is.
I think women here are more free. They don't need to be the traditional Czech woman in relationships. And men are a little bit traditional that they like it. They like if someone cares about them and cooks them food.
Idle, sexist, Czech men are taking a bit of a bashing at the moment. So I called in a special aide to defend their reputation.
Tak já si myslím, že stereotyp českého muže jako toho, kdo vyžaduje od své manželky, aby mu vařila.
I think that the stereotype of a Czech man as someone who demands that his wife cooks for him, takes care of her own appearance and looks after the children is now a little bit old-fashioned. Maybe it can be said of the older generation, but of course not all. And as for young Czechs, I would say that this is not the case at all. I have lots of friends who are married or who are in long-term relationships, and in their households, they share out equally the household chores. Both of them go to work every day, both of them are earning. I would definitely say that males and females in the Czech Republic today enjoy equal status.
A rozhodně bych řekl, že postavení muže a ženy mezi dnešními mladými Čechy je rovnoprávné.
As for my special aid, well, he's reputed to be very good at the ironing and makes a mean mushroom sauce, it has been said. And perhaps young Western females are being won over. But the extraordinarily low number of marriages between these females and their Czech partners remain. We continue this tale of woe by looking at some of the obstacles that our star-crossed international lovers face.
Things have come to a pretty pass. Our romance is growing flat, for you like this and the other, while I go for this and that. Goodness knows what the end will be. Oh, I don't know where I'm at. It looks as if we two will never be.
First, and perhaps most fiendishly, is the language barrier between a Czech and non-Czech, regardless of gender.
I say either, you say neither, and I say neither, either, either, and either, neither, and let's call the whole thing off. Yes, you like potato, and I like potato, you like tomato, I like tomato, potato, potato, tomato, tomato, let's call the whole thing off.
Dan and Dana Smith seem to have established a good system. They alternate Czech-speaking weeks with English-speaking weeks and can converse in each other's languages fluently. But even then, Dan tells me that speaking different first languages does remain a problem.
It inhibits communication on a deeper level sometimes, it can. But I think that I speak Czech well enough and she speaks English well enough that we can communicate adequately now. But at the beginning it was difficult. If you really want to discuss something meaningfully with another person, that it's a big barrier. And it's a big barrier in general.
But then Jane Kerwin doesn't agree. She's a poet and has found that a knowledge of Czech has influenced her work and her use of language. She insists that one of the great things about her relationship with Aleš is trying to get over the language barrier that exists between them.
It's quite fun to play with. Both of us have gaps when he says something and I have a few seconds of all the other possibilities of what it meant. And it's quite nice because it gives an additional dimension to the exchange. So I think it's helped, actually. You have to push it. Like this morning, I had an email saying, are you giving up coming to these shores? So I read it out to Aleš, and he said, shores, what does that mean, shores? So we had to talk about a shore, beaches, shoring up a house. So we had this long conversation. That was quite interesting because I had to think about what shores is, and I took it for granted before.
Language is the most apparent obstacle for mixed nationality couples, but more abstract notions such as nationality also seem to pose problems. I asked Dan and Dana whether nationality played any role in their marriage, and this time in her native Czech, Dana assured me it did.
Samozřejmě, tak my známe takový jeden hezký vtip, který rádi.
Of course, it does. We have a joke that we like to tell our friends, which demonstrates the differences that exist between foreigners. There's a pretty girl who has bright green hair and who's clad in some new purple outfit. The American says to her, "Wow, you look fantastic. Where did you get that outfit? I want to go shopping there too." The Frenchman, when he sees her, says, it's nice, but I've seen you in things that suit you more." And the Czech says, "Jesus Christ, what are you wearing?" So nationality does alter a person's behavior, definitely.
Takže je v tom rozdíl, určitě.
So for mixed nationality couples, it's difficult to get together and then to stay together. And Czech females seem to be a lot better at it than Czech males. My sample Czech male suggests that this may all boil down to money.
Maybe it bothers Czech men that Western women from Britain and America have more money than they do. Maybe this deters them from entering into relationship with a Western woman. On the other hand, Czech women sometimes have the image of a Western man as some sort of rich prince, which might explain why so many more Czech women are in relationships with Western men.
Whether it's money, unflattering stereotypes, language or conservative attitudes which are nipping relationships between Czech men and Western women in the bud, it's certain that there's a long way to go before scores of Western women start looking for a Jan in shining armour.
Hledám stopy včerejší.
Rosie Johnston there with that edition of Panorama. And we'd welcome many of your comments on why it is, perhaps, this phenomenon. We have many foreign men and with Czech women, but not so much the other way round. That's what Rosie was trying to get to the bottom of in Panorama. But any of your comments about that would be very welcome indeed. The address at Radio Prague is 120, the postcode, I should say, 12099. Prague 2, the Czech Republic. Once again, Radio Prague, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. You can, of course, write to us as well by email. The address is english@radio.cz. Once again, english@radio.cz. Please do check out the website. It's very informative, and you can also listen to many of our programmes again online. That's it from me, Peter Smith. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Europe. 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe. 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre. 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57. Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9415, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz.